It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along as we've been studying the book of Acts, you know that we left off in chapter 23. Well, today we're going to look at chapter 24, but let me go back just a moment and remind you that Paul is getting ready to be before Felix. Paul was brought there, and Felix inquired where Paul was come from, and he understood that Paul was from Cilicia, and this was a Roman province. And once again, Paul was a Roman. And once again, Felix agreed to hear Paul when his accusers arrived, according to verse 35 of chapter 23. Well, he had Paul held in Herod's Praetorium, in other words, the Bible says judgment hall. And we see that once again that the Praetorium, there was a Praetorium, the judgment hall or the common hall. This is once again in John chapter 18, verse 28. It says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled." This is talking about the Jews. They would not go into the judgment hall. It goes on to say, "But that they might eat the Passover." In other words, had they gone in there, they could not have eaten the Passover according to Jewish custom. Well, that's chapter 23. And now as we go into chapter 24, there are several objectives in studying this chapter. And I'd like to consider three of these objectives. First is to review the accusation of the Jews presented by Tertullus. And secondly, to consider Paul's defense before Felix. And third, to observe Felix's delay in rendering judgment of Paul. Well, we start off by looking at there were accusations made. And we read about this in chapter 24 of Acts, verses 1 through 9. But let's think of this just a moment. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 1, it says, "And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul." Well, they came to provide evidence against Paul. In other words, these people came with verbal evidence. And then this Tertullus was an orator who evidently, he is an eloquent spokesman. He did the speaking. And we see that as we continue on, that there were allegations made against Paul. Tertullus began by giving great praise to Felix. Acts chapter 24, verses 2 and 3. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, now that he's accusing Paul, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by the promise." Now once again, he's buttering up Felix here. Verse 3 goes on to say, "We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words." In other words, he's asking Felix to listen. And verse 2, it says, "We enjoy great quietness." That's what verse 2 is talking about here with this Tertullus. And there was prosperity being brought to this nation by Felix. And once again, "We accept it," he says, "with all thankfulness." He was buttering up this man. And then we see that the charges were then presented against Paul in verses 5 and 6. "For we have found this man a persistent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about Christians. Verse 6 goes on, "Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law." Well, they found Paul to be like an epidemic, a plague, in other words, a pestilent. He caused rebellion, and that's what sedition means, a rebellion, among all the Jews throughout the world. And also they found him to be a ringleader, a chief troublemaker, if you would, of the sect of the Nazarenes. Well, I believe that Nazarenes, once again, are Christians, because the Nazarene was a reference to Christ from Nazareth. And I'm not talking about a denomination here. I'm speaking about Christ was from Nazareth. So he would be the Nazarene that they're speaking of here. And once again, this man goes ahead and says he tried to profane, in other words, be disrespectful, trying to undermine the true teachings of the temple. In other words, the religious beliefs of the Jews. Where this Tertullus stated that the Roman commander, Lysias, took Paul with great violence from them. We read that in verse 7. We're going to read verses 7 and 8 now in Acts chapter 24. It says, "But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands." In other words, he took Paul out of their hands. Verse 8 goes on to say, "commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him." Well, it's pretty plain there, and it's pretty self-explanatory there, that the Jews had seized Paul. In other words, once again, they wanted to judge him according to their law, according to verse 7. Well, the commander had taken Paul and had commanded them to appear before Felix to make their accusations. In other words, this commander has actually saved Paul's life here. And then we also see that the attending Jews agreed with Tertullus with his accusations. Verse 8 says, "We accuse him." And verse 9, we read there, and it says, "And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." The Jews agreed. Well, and then we look at Paul's defense. This takes place in Acts 24, verses 10 through 21. We'll start out with verse 10. "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." Well, here we're seeing Paul speaking to Felix. Paul recognized that Felix, once again, to have been a judge of the nation for many years. And note that the word cheerfully here means that, once again, "I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." In other words, Acts chapter 24 and verse 10 says that. Not only did this man who was accusing Paul butter up Felix, but buttering up now was done by Paul. And then we see that Paul stated that he would defend or answer for himself. He would not allow someone else to defend him. He would answer for himself and put forth any defense that he needed. Well, Paul had gone up to Jerusalem to worship about 12 days prior to appearing before Felix. Verse 11 talks about that. He goes on to say, "Because that thou mayest understand," he's talking to Felix now, "that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship." Well, they did not find Paul disputing with anyone nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogue or in the city, according to verse 12. It says, "And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city." Well, here Paul stated that they could not prove the accusations that they were making against him. Verse 13 says, "Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me." Well, then we see that Paul confessed that he worshiped God according to the way. In other words, the gospel. And this is what they call heresy, these men who were accusing Paul. In verse 14 of Acts 24, it says, "But this I confess unto thee," once again, Paul speaking to Felix, "that after the way, which they call heresy, to worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." In other words, he was doing nothing wrong. He was worshiping God. There was no heresy involved. And Paul believed all things written in the law and the prophets. He did not try to do away with these things. Acts 24, verse 14, once again, he says there in the last part of that verse there, he says, "So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." He had done nothing wrong. Now, we move on and we see in verse 15 that Paul stated that he had hope, in other words, confidence in God, just as they do, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now, once again here, Paul was speaking here of the Pharisees' beliefs, not that of the Sadducees. Remember, the Sadducees and Pharisees were at odds against each other. One believed in the resurrection, the other group did not. Well, notice in verse 15 of Acts 24 now, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." He's getting across to Felix here that he was doing nothing wrong, that he was agreeing with what had been said against him. Or he wasn't agreeing with what had been said against him, but he was agreeing that, once again, that he was worshiping the true God. Now, we read in Acts chapter 23, once again, verse 9, it says, "And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Well, as a result of verse 15 of Acts 24, he strove. In other words, he says, "Exercise myself to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." And we see that in verse 16. And the word conscience here means a co-knowledge. In other words, that inner voice that tells us how to behave based on what we've learned. Verse 16 of Acts 24 says, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void to offense toward God and toward man." He had done nothing against God or man. And once again, as we look into verse 17, we see that Paul had returned to Jerusalem after many years to bring alms and offerings to his nation. Verse 17, Acts 24, "Now after many years," Paul said, "I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings." He was doing something that he was there to worship. And this was the time when some Jews from Asia, who were at this time not before Felix, found Paul purified in the temple, and not with a mob, with tumult. In other words, he wasn't violent or noisy. He did not cause this. Verse 18 of Acts 24 says, "Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude." Now, the word multitude here is not with those who had come to talk against Paul. He was in the temple. Let me read this again, starting with verse 18 of chapter 24. "Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult." In other words, he didn't cause a problem. He didn't cause a problem with the people. He was there to purify himself. And once again, we're reading in verse 19, we continue there. And if once again, if they, that's the multitude, had found Paul in the temple, they had an accusation against him. They should have come before Felix at this time. No, they weren't there. If the multitude had something to say, if they were against Paul, they should have been there. Verse 19 of Acts 24 says, "Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me?" Well, Paul was a man of God, and he didn't back down. He preached the word of God wherever he went, and he was telling Felix exactly the way it is. We'll pick up here the next time in Acts chapter 24. Do you know him today as your Savior? You need to ask him to come into your heart. The Bible says to repent. That means to have a change of mind. In other words, you know you can't save yourself. You know you're a sinner, and you're on your way to hell, and the only way to go to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.